Her name was Susie. And every time I saw her in the hallway at Woodlawn Elementary School, my heart skipped a beat. I was in sixth grade, she was in fifth. And oh, I wanted her to be my girlfriend. She lived across the street from my friend Todd. And so one night, I was at a sleepover at Todd's house, and it was Todd and Kyle and my buddies. And they started telling me, you need to go over and ask her to go with you. Now, for you younger generation, let me give you a quick refresher course on dating in back in the day, right? Back in the day, if you liked somebody, you would ask them to go steady with you. Or, if you were cool, you just go with me. Will you go with me? And if you did, so then you were exclusive. You were boyfriend and girlfriend. You were in a relationship. And this is how the whole courtship thing began back when I was 11, 12 years old and feeling all of these adolescent hormones bubbling inside me. So Todd and Kyle said, go ask Susie to go with you. So I walked up to her door. My heart was beating out of my chest. My hands were sweaty, and I knocked on the door. My voice was cracking. I said, Susie, home. Susie came to the door, and I said, hi, Susie. And I don't think I'd ever talked to her before. I said, I have a question for you. She said, okay. I said, will you go with me? She said, where? I said, no, will you go with me? Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, what was really interesting is that nothing really changed. I'd see her in the hallway and smile and wave. She'd smile and wave. I think a couple times we met up at Skate West and held hands for the moonlight skate. But she lived in a completely different neighborhood. She was in a different class. We never saw each other hardly at all. And we never spoke. We never talked to each other. But we were going together. Now, about this time in my life, I had a friend down the street named Scott. And at our house at 3107 Madison in Des Moines, our front yard was kind of falling over into the sidewalk. So my dad had poured a retaining wall that stood about this high across the entire front yard along the sidewalk. And it was perfect for sitting on. And Scott and I, you know, this is back in the day when, you know, after dinner, you know, mom and dad be like, you know, get out, go outside and play, get out of the house. So we go out. So Scott and I in the neighborhood, we'd hang out. And a lot of nights, we would just sit on that retaining wall, and we'd play games. We had to come up with games sometimes because it was just the two of us. So, like, one of our favorite ones was every car that came by the house, it was a fairly busy street, you had to rate the car on a scale of 1 to 10, right, how cool the car was. And if there was a girl in the car, you had to rate the girl, how pretty she was, 1 to 10. And we do that for hours. And while we're waiting for cars to come by, we would talk. We talked about our dreams. We talked about our families. We talked about what we're going to do when we grow up. We talked about what we liked in girls. We had all sorts of great conversations. Scott and I became best of friends. I was best man at his wedding. And to this day, we may not speak for a year or 2 years, and all of a sudden the phone rings and it's Scott, and you know what? We pick up right where we left off on that retaining wall. And we are laughing and joking, and it's like there was no time lapsed from the last time I talked to him. And isn't it funny? Because I was going steady with Susie. We were officially a couple. We were committed in a social relationship that we had chosen into, and we both said yes, but we had no relationship. We are finishing up our series on hearing God's voice today, And we've been spending weeks talking about hearing God's voice through his word and hearing God's voice in prayer and hearing God's voice in our journaling and being aware of listening for what God is saying. And today we're finishing up that series with a message about two-way communication. Prayer is two-way communication. In fact, I would go so far to say sometimes I don't even like the word prayer. I mean, it's just me. Because prayer is really just a conversation with God. Prayer is a dialogue, a give and take. Prayer is sitting on the retaining wall with God and watching the cars go by and having a conversation, both talking and listening. And what I want us to understand this morning is that if you have been coming over these weeks, or maybe this is the first time you're here, but you're kind of going, you know what, I've done the prayer thing, but I don't hear, I'm struggling to hear this, hear God's voice. I am struggling to understand what this is all about. I want you to understand that two-way communication with God does not happen unless you have relationship. And if you have relationship with God, that health of that relationship is highly dependent upon the quality and the amount of your two-way communication. They go together, hand in hand. Grab your Bibles if you got them. If you don't have one, in the back there behind Brian at the sound booth, there's a whole rack of them. And we're going to turn to the Psalms this morning. Psalms, and if you're not unfamiliar kind of with the Bible, I always learned this as a kid. If you open up about the middle of the Bible, you're going to usually end up right about the Psalms, okay? The Psalms is an anthology of song lyrics, most of them written by King David. Now, we talked about King David back in the Heroes of the Faith series. King David was a man after God's own heart. David and Goliath, remember the story of David and Goliath? David was a man that God said, hey, you're a man after my own heart. And he called him from a young age. And David and God had this relationship. And David was not only a king and a warrior, but he was also a poet and a songwriter and a musician and an artist. And so he wrote all of these songs and he poured out his heart in the songs. And the book of Psalms is a journal. It's David's song journal. And his lyrics of all of his songs, and there's some others in there from other writers, but this is like reading his journal. You hear about his relationship with God. Okay? So take a look at Psalm 2, which is one of the introductory psalms of the entire book. Psalm, the second chapter, David's song. He says, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? So all of a sudden, he's pouring out his heart in his journal, and he's saying, all of these nations around me, I'm king of Israel, and all the nations around me, they're plotting, they're conspiring. I'm feeling anxious and fearful about all my enemies. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord. So all of these other kings and rulers worship pagan gods and, you know, weird, awful Canaanite deities. And David's feeling alone because he's the only one that really serves the Lord Almighty. And these guys are taking up their hand against the anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. And then David says, verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have instilled my king on Zion, my holy hill. Now, David, this is like his dream and vision journal. David sees God on his throne. He hears God laugh on his throne. He's journaling about it. And he hears God say, I'm gonna take care of these guys, David. I got your back. Don't you worry. Then David says, verse 7, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. God said to me, so here's the two-way communication. David is not only crying out to God, but he's hearing God. And God says to David, he said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. So in his anxiety and fear, he comes and says, God, why did the nations conspire? He sees God in his throne, and he hears him laugh, and then he hears God say to him, David, you are my son. I am your father. I got this. Don't you worry. And we begin to feel that relationship between David and God. This morning I want to talk about three things, three points about this relationship in which we can find that two-way communication with God. And the first thing is that in order to have a relationship, in order to find that kind of relationship, you have to choose in. So oftentimes I feel like, I meet people who are sort of like, you know what, I'm living my life, and if God wants me, he's just going to have to come after me. Or I don't want to put in any work or effort. I want to do my thing. And if God wants more than that, then he's going to have to, just kind of waiting for God to come after me. And the reality is that if you want to be in relationship, you've got to choose in. You have to decide, all right, I am in this thing, and I am going to commit myself, my time, my energy, my resources in order to do this. Turn back to from Psalm 2, go back to Psalm 16. Again, we're going to use David as an example. Psalm 16. You can't be in relationship if you don't choose in. Verse 1, David says, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. So David is choosing in, and he's saying, I'm going to take refuge in God. My life is struggling. I'm having a tough time, but I'm going to take refuge in God. Here's the thing. We all take refuge in something. When things go wrong, we all take refuge in something. What is your refuge? Some of us take refuge in destructive things. The bottle, drugs. Zoning out, being entertained to death, escaping, pornography, whatever it might be. Some of us try and find refuge in human relationships and our spouses, and some of those things are very good. But David says, I'm going to choose in. I'm going to take refuge in you, God. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are all glorious ones in whom all is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. In other words, God, I am yours. I am choosing into relationship with you. And then verse 5. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. So now God is responding. I took refuge in you. I poured out my life to you. I have come to you, God. And guess what you did? You gave me a strong place to live. You have answered. I will praise the Lord, verse 7, who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. So David chooses in, and God responds. About 20 years ago, I spent a year working for a men's ministry in Des Moines. And it's kind of like Vital Men here in Pella, weekly meeting and big gathering and talk about guys stuff and talk about being good husbands and fathers. And then, so during that period of time, about 20 years ago, Governor Branstad came to our group. So he was there every Wednesday morning and had his, state trooper bodyguard there with him. Hey, Gov. So, yeah, I met the governor. A couple years ago, when he was running again, Wendy's mom worked for him, was on his staff. And so she called us one day and she said, hey, Terry Branstad's coming down to Tulip Time to shake hands. He's running for governor again. Can he use your house as his base of operations during Tulip Time? Okay. So Terry Branstad came to our house and hung out. Went uptown to the time. I know Governor Branstad. But I don't know Governor Branstad. I mean, yeah, I saw him on Wednesday mornings. He shook hands in my backyard. But if I were to go to Terrace Hill today and walk up to his house, I'd probably get tackled by, you know, a couple state troopers because I don't know him. I know who he is. I'm acquainted. Shake his hand. You probably go, oh, yeah. No, I don't know who you are. But see, relationship isn't about knowing about somebody. It's not about being acquainted. It's not, well, will you go with me? And then all of a sudden, you're in relationship. There is a choosing in that is required. Second thing is that it requires regular, intimate communication. It requires time and energy and effort to communicate. You can choose into marriage, and you can stand at the altar and say, I do and I do, but that does not mean you're in relationship with each other. Relationship is so much more than that. It requires regular, intimate communication. David, in the fifth psalm, skip back there real quick. In the fifth psalm, keep your finger on 16, but go back to Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. So in the morning, early in the morning, David is talking to God. He's talking, saying, hey, here's what I want for my day. Here's what I'm looking forward to. Here's what I'm going to. And then he waits. He sits and he listens. That's communication. How often is our communication with God one way? Okay, God, give me this. Okay, going in my day. That's not two-way, that's one way. It requires both. In Psalm 16, back to 16, he says, I praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. So in the morning, he's talking to God and waiting in expectation. Now at night, he's laying on his bed listening for the counsels of God. I have set the Lord, he says, always before me, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. In other words, it is a constant communication. It is a constant relationship. David is in communication and in relationship with God at all times. It's not compartmentalized to Sunday morning. It's not compartmentalized to just before dinner when I say grace. It's not compartmentalized just to my little quiet time that I might carve out once in a while. It is ongoing, ever and always. I had come back home from my first year in college. It was freshman year, and I came back for Christmas break, and I was visiting my old high school youth group on a Wednesday night, and while I was there, I met this guy that, and I knew of him. I mean, we didn't have a relationship, but I knew of him. We knew each other. We were on the same touch football team in 7th, 8th grade. Okay? So, yeah, I know that guy. So we started talking, and he said, where are you at school? And he's like, oh, you know what? Give me your address. I'll send you a letter. And I said, cool. All right. So I give him my address. He said, what's your address? So we exchange addresses. Well, in college can be kind of a lonely experience. And, I mean, I love getting letters, and I love getting cards because it was kind of lonely, and I'd go to the post office. And this is before email, right? So I'm sorry, I'm an old guy, but this is before email, right? So you didn't just get a quick text from mom and dad telling you they love you. I mean, you got a letter. It was a monumental communication. And back in those days, long-distance phone calls cost money. So my parents were here in the backyard. You know, we talked once a week on Sunday because that's when the rates were cheapest, right? And even then, you know, the conversations were short because it cost money. So getting a letter was a huge deal. And I remember writing Dave after I got back from Christmas break, and about 4 days later, I got a letter back. Cool. So I wrote him back. And 4 or 5 days later, he wrote me back. We wrote back and forth for years. Postcards, letters. While he was in grad school in France, as a professor, while he was on study abroad, through relationships, through college, through temptations, through life. And you know what? It started out as just we didn't know each other. But over time, as the letters went back and forth, guess what? They began to get more and more intimate. We started sharing things about what we were feeling and going through. We shared encouragement to each other. We became best of friends. And in this case, we weren't even in the same area. We were in different parts of the world. But the communication facilitated the relationship. And guess what? It took time, a couple times a week, to sit down for an hour and write out a letter and put a stamp on it. And it costs me some money in stationery and stamps and airmail. Relationship requires two-way communication, and that communication has to be regular and intimate. It may not start out that way, but it grows that way. The third thing that's required in this is that the communication has to be honest and transparent. And oftentimes I feel like where we miss the opportunity to be in relationship with Christ is because we're not honest, really. We put on our Sunday best, and we take a shower, we get scrubbed up, and we come to church to look our best for God. And God's like going, that's not though you. I want you to choose in. I want to know you. I want to get into things with you. I want to deal with the stuff that's in your heart. And the thing that I love about David is that you read through the Psalms, and when he was joyful, he sang about it. You know, he wrote about it in Psalm 21. Well, you want to look at it, you can look at it later. Psalm 21, David's saying, I'm victorious, I beat my enemies, I'm on the throne, life is good. Yeah, thank you, God, praise you. And he's excited, and he's pouring out his love and his excitement to God. In Psalm 51, he'd committed adultery and conspired to commit murder. And he pours out his guilt and his shame to God in Psalm 51. In Psalm 6, one of the things I love is that when David was angry and frustrated and in despair, he sang, I think some of these song lyrics are the blues, right? Even when I'm reading them, I'm hearing it. Na 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 na, boom, boom, na 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 na. You know, here we are, Psalm 6. My soul is in anguish, da 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 da. How long, Lord, how long? Ba da 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 da. You know, you can just hear it. He is in despair. And relationship requires that we are honest about what we're feeling. Wendy and I moved this last week. And on Wednesday, we were running about doing things. As we've been doing for weeks, and we both kind of looked at each other and said, you know what, something's weird. We're just weird. Feel weird. So we sat down over lunch, and we said, okay, what's weird? And we began to talk, and the reality was is that we've been moving, man. We've been packing in boxes and making decisions and doing all of these things, and guess what? We hadn't really been communicating. We've been functioning, but we hadn't really been communicating. And it just kind of came out over lunch. And she's like going, yeah, I feel like, you know, you're this. And I'm like going, yeah, and I feel like I'm this. You're, and we just had this honest conversation about where we were. And guess what? At that moment, I just kind of felt things click. And all of a sudden, instead of spiraling downward, we began to climb back in to intimacy. We got to have that honest communication if we're going to be in a relationship. Yeah, the room that I'm most excited about in our new house is the dining room. We're not like big gourmet, you know, food people, but I tell you what, we love a great meal. My daughters, when they were 10 or 11, bought me this book. It's called If, dot, dot, dot. And in this book is a bunch of icebreaker questions. And so we began, even when they were at a young age, we had to get, dinner together, and somebody's night choose the if question. And some of these questions are like are weird, you know. If you could assassinate one leader in the world, who would it be? You know, weird. Some of them are just really. In fact, some of them we discovered were a little inappropriate, so we just didn't deal with those, right? And some of them were really interesting questions. So one person would choose the if question, and that prompted a conversation in which everybody answered the if question, and you get to that would turn into this conversation, that conversation. And through their teenage years, our daughters, we would just sit and have these great 2-3 hour meals. We've had friends come over, and we've sat down to dinner at 6 o'clock in the evening, and at 2 a.m. in the morning, we're still sitting at the dining room table. We had a friend who said, "You're the only people I know that actually use their dining room." And we do. Because that's why we like to have relationship and have great conversations and get to know people, to talk and to listen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Here I am." I love it. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and" what? "Eat with him." I'll come in for dinner. We'll sit down in the dining room. And we'll pull out the if book. And we'll have conversation. And 8 hours later, we'll still be sitting there feasting and drinking and talking and laughing and crying and getting to know one another. I think we would be remiss. We'd be making a mistake if we didn't end this series on hearing God's voice with an invitation. Some of us may have known about God our whole lives. We've been to church, we've gone to catechism, we've done all these things, we've been to, you know, Calvinists and all that kind of stuff. We've done all these, we could even know the Bible and study it and everything, but there is no relationship. Or maybe we've been in relationship with God, but over time, you know what? It's just weird. It feels weird. We stopped talking. It started functioning, and there just hasn't been any intimacy. So this morning, as we wrap up, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. If God is knocking at the door of your heart today, see, he chose in when he died on a cross for you. He chose in when he took your sins on his shoulders. And he hung on that cross to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. He was choosing in. And now he's standing at the door. And he's knocking. Will you open the door this morning? Will you choose in to taking the time to talk to have dinner with, to listen to be intimate with? Will you choose in to being honest and transparent? Will you choose in to relationship with Christ? As we sing this morning, elders will be up here. We've got communion. Come up. May this be your first meal with Christ as you choose into relationship. There will be elders here and around. If you need to talk to somebody, if you need to just come up and kneel and have some prayer, take some time to just choose in and ask God to just open the door of your heart and ask him in, then will you do that this morning and begin the relationship or begin the relationship anew?
soften my heart, break me apart. I need you. Open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. And all I am,
open ourselves to more of you. Lord, that daily we would be in communion with you, knowing and receiving your love and pouring it right back to you. And we thank you that because of the cross of Christ, because of his resurrection, we have life. We can have life to the fullest. So give us strength as we go from this place today. So as you go from this place, would you know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Would you know the peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit? And would you know the unfailing love of the God, our Father? Amen. Have a blessed week.
Your